plenty of people have heard about male birds singing and dancing to attract females. Any kid who had a science teacher that played Planet Earth growing up is likely to remember being amazed by a glowing blue smiley face hopping from side to side on a tree branch. However, what you might not know is that a number of fish do almost the exact same thing. In the case of one fish in particular, the painted goby, males build nests underneath shells and then begin a song and dance to convince females to lay eggs there.
Hi, I'm Helen.
And I'm Izzy. In today's episode of Language of Love, we'll be talking about an experiment that took a look at how a noisy environment impacted the male mating performance of painted gobies and the reactions of females.
The goby is aptly named with its dappled, spotted scales both acting as camouflage against the sandy floor of the ocean and giving it the appearance of being the work of an impressionist artist. The light and dark splotches mimic the filtered light that comes through the water, and their small, thin bodies, only about as long as the width of your hand, practically disappear when they lie still on the sand. Even as ocean dwellers, painted gobies have to compete with noises created by humans. It may be easier to imagine how land-dwelling animals close to busy cities may experience human interference, but noise pollution does not end where the ocean begins. Boats and wind farms can create quite a commotion, which does not necessarily bode well for any underwater romantic endeavors. With male songs playing such an important role when it comes to females picking their mates, not being able to hear those songs could potentially be detrimental to the success of their mating process.
Back in early 2015, at the University of Lisbon, a group of researchers decided to take a look at how noise affects courtship communication in painted gobies. They made a bunch of aquaria, which, as I have learned, is the plural form of aquarium, which is weird because I thought that they would just stick an S at the end, but anyways. And then they put some water, some sand, and a piece of PVC piping that the fish could use to make a little nest by shoveling sand over top of it and then chilling inside. They also put a hydrophone, which is a microphone that can detect sound waves underwater. Then, behind each nest, they put an electromotor to create background noise that would simulate the noise made by human disturbance out in the wild.
The control group for this study had the same setup, but with the electromotor turned off. This way, they could have a reference for the behavior of the fish when they didn't have to compete with any other sounds. They then put the male fish into their tanks first, let them get acclimated for a few days, introduced the female fish to a separate part of the tank to get used to the noise, and then on the fourth day of the trial, the males and females were allowed to be free in the same aquarium.
The first half an hour was closely observed, looking for any acoustic or visual displays of courtship that, if successful, would culminate in the female entering the male nest. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. After the first 30 minutes, the researchers mostly left the fish to their business, and then they only checked the nest after that to see if there had been any eggs laid in the nest. The experiment wrapped up on the fifth day, the fish were removed from the aquaria, and the eggs in the nest were counted.
In reviewing all of the information that was collected during the trials, the researchers compared the interactions between male and female painted gobies in the different aquaria. By looking at both silent and noisy aquaria, the researchers hoped to better understand if females chose a male due to the sounds they made or their dance moves.
As it turns out, both are important, but the deciding factor often lay in the environment. When they were in the silent aquaria, singing seemed to land better than having sick moves. But in contrast, the noisy aquaria provided a greater obstacle to audio communication, and therefore physical movement became the more effective form of mating endeavors. In both scenarios, the male fish danced the same amount and changed very little about their behavior when they encountered the background noise. So it became up to females to interpret their actions based on what they could hear and see.
This study is really important because it highlights both the adaptive capabilities of painted gobies, as well as the impact that humans have on animals even within their natural environments. We met with researcher Dr. Karen DeYoung to gain further insight into the importance of this study.
In this case, it's mainly because we look at the female side of the story, because most studies actually focus on male behavior, male courtship, because that's most obvious. And I guess one of the things that's important about this paper is that it actually looks at how females respond and whether they are also affected by the noise. And the other thing is that it kind of shows that adaptation is kind of evolution is not always straightforward, because of course you would expect that males, when there's noise, maybe and when there's noise and the females pay more attention to visual behavior, you would actually expect to do more visual behavior, because it will actually give them more spawnings. But in this case, males do actually less visual behavior, so changes in behavior, especially to anthropogenic changes in the environment, do not always have to be adaptive. They can basically lead the animal in the wrong direction as well.
The painted gobies are either very fortunate or well evolved to have two different forms of communication to find mates, so that even in various different situations, they can still find a way to court and reproduce. However, having multiple forms of communication should not be considered a solution to all the noise problems humans create. Not much is known about the impacts of painted gobies mating based on dancing rather than singing, but an increase in noise pollution could result in a more permanent shift away from singing in courtship communication.
From what was recorded in this experiment, acoustic communication did not become less important. Rather, visual communication simply became a more effective way for the male painted gobies to attract females, but that isn't to say that noise pollution won't take an evolutionary toll later down the line.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Language of Love. For future episodes like these, check out Dr. Vahava's classes next semester.
This episode of Language of Love was produced by Helen Teeter and Izzy Wade as part of the first year seminar at Smith College of the same name. Special thanks to our guest, Dr. Karen DeYoung, for her time and interview.